Ley Lines, and beyond. In the 20th century, Sir Alfred Watkins found that a huge number of architectural sites from all different historical periods appeared throughout England on straight-lined paths called ley lines. One in particular cut almost horizontally across southern England. I was delighted to find a BBC article in 2005 that soberly discussed these mysteries. Ley lines are alignments and patterns of powerful, invisible earth energy said to connect various sacred sites, such as churches, temples, stone circles, megaliths, holy wells, burial sites, and other locations of spiritual or magical importance, Harper's Encyclopedia of Mystical and Paranormal Experience. It is true that more paranormal activity is evidenced in these areas, including hauntings. Effects of this type of energy are said to be similar to those of static electricity, feelings of tingling on the skin, and hairs standing on end. A phenomenon often reported during investigations is that of technical equipment behaving erratically. Major prehistoric structures of higher importance can frequently be found to occupy locations where two or more leys intersect with each other. At the end of this article, there is a disclaimer saying it is user-generated content that does not represent the views of BBC Gloucestershire, just so there is no confusion. All of the effects they mentioned are a perfect match with what we've been learning about the source field. I was also greatly inspired by an article from Joseph Jachmans entitled Earth, a Crystal Planet, which appeared in a 1996 issue of Atlantis Rising and features some of the points I've already mentioned above. Jachmans revealed that many ancient cultures around the world had a unique focus on these ancient straight lines. The Irish called them fairy paths. The Germans called them holy lines. The Greeks referred to them as the sacred roads of Hermes. The ancient Egyptians called them the pathways of Min. The Chinese called them Lung Mei, or dragon currents, and believed that placing stones, trees, temples, houses, and pagodas along these lines would directly help the earth as part of the ancient practice of feng shui. The earth was treated in much the same way as the body would be healed, through the acupuncture lines. The idea of the axis mundi also fits in very nicely. If you have a major energy vortex in a particular land, that obviously would become the focal point for everyone if enough people knew about it and could make use of its benefits. The Australian Aborigines called them dream paths and would do seasonal walkabouts along these lines to re-energize the life force in those regions. They would map out the dream lines on boards called turingas and could locate game animals and predict the approach of storms by meditating on the lines. Ancient Polynesians called them te lapa, or lines of light, and could apparently see them as visible, luminous lines in the ocean that they used for navigation. The residents of Easter Island and Hawaii called them aka threads and built the stone heads and sacred ahu platforms in Hawaii to harness the mane, or life power, from these lines. The Incas organized their entire civilization along cheque lines, building huacas, or sacred centers along the way, all of which converged at the Pyramid of the Sun in Cusco. The Maya built raised white roadways called sacbes that followed the lines with perfect straightness, going right through the swamps to connect their pyramid complexes together. Medicine wheels and kiva circles in Western North America are also found in straight-line arrangements, and the mound builders in the Midwest and East Coast regions of what is now the United States also left their structures in curious alignments, again seemingly to harness the powers of this grid and the coherence it produces. Jachmans also said that Native American shamans often speak of healing energies from the earth they call Orenda, Manitou, and other such names. Interestingly, Jachmans also claimed that the Hopi elders said the earth was like the back of a spotted fawn. As the fawn gets older, the spots change positions, and new points appear.